Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we have a big story about the Abraham Accords. Back when it was apparent that Joe Biden was about to become our pretend president, a lot of people wrote to me saying how wrong that I was to say that the Abraham Accords would lead to the Daniel 9:27 covenant because the Democrats would get rid of it because Trump created it. Well, my reply was the exact opposite was going to happen. And 4 months into Biden's reign, that's exactly what's happening, as both the House and the Senate are preparing twin versions of something called the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2020. The Abraham Accords are about to get an upgrade right on time. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the stunning acceptance of the Abraham Accords created by President Trump and Jared Kushner by the Biden administration. And not only have they adopted that policy, they are working right now to drastically expand the range and the scope of the Abraham Accords. You know what that means, right? Of course you do. It's as obvious as the nose on your face. Here comes the two-state solution. God removed Donald Trump, and he looks to be in the process of removing Benjamin Netanyahu over in Israel, paving the way for an easy slam-dunk installation of the two-state solution. Peace, peace, glorious peace in the Middle East, but not. It heralds the soon arrival of Antichrist. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 16. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 28, verses 14 through 16. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold, and regard ye among the heathen, and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you're watching over us. And Lord, we have praise reports today. Absolutely praise reports today. Lori Ann says that a huge prayer that she had been praying for, God gave an answer, and she's rejoicing. Eye in the Sky says, the Lord provided the funds for me to go to Florida next month, and she's rejoicing over that, and we're rejoicing over that, because that means next month is our old-fashioned camp meeting on the 22nd. Jenny says, brought me through knee replacement surgery safely, doing great, and Rojo is taking good care of me here at home. Praise the Lord for carrying me through this surgery. Carolyn A. says, praise report. My husband is recovering from a major stroke. The doctors can't believe how well he is doing. God has done a mighty work. It's a true miracle. And we rejoice with Carolyn and her husband and her family for the healing. Candy Apple says, the Lord has prospered my business this week and has kept my spirits up. R.R. Writer says, a roof over my head, food, so far safe travel, some good sleep. I thank Jesus for that. And we do have the praise of God on our lips today. And we have the double-edged sword of that King James Bible from Proverbs 129. Psalms 129. And we rejoice today because the Bible says that he daily loadeth us with benefits. Psalm 68, verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such a one as goeth on still in his trespasses. If you ever want to have a really good time in the Word, do a word search on those two words, but God. And you will see all through the Bible, Old and New Testament, that a situation was bad, a situation was terrible. But God stepped in and he ordered and reordered the steps of that situation. Acts 11:30, but God raised him from the dead. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. 1 Corinthians 3:6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And all through the Bible, we see those two words, but God. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Philippians 2:27, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And all through the Bible, we see those two words, but God. And in the vast majority of cases, that's referring to God stepping in and changing the situation. Psalm 49:15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. And all through the Bible, those two words, if you ever want to have a good shouting time of the next time you do your daily devotion, just do your daily devotion on those two words, but God. And you will see that it will deliver an amazing, amazing blessing to you. Lord, we commit this time to you and ask for your blessing. Watch over us. And, we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I got a little far down the stream there, almost broke into a Bible study, which would be a good thing. And I love when we do these podcasts and we do these Bible studies and all these programs, 5 different programs each week that we do. And so many of you write and say what a blessing it is. It's a blessing for me, believe me. I love to do these programs. It helps to keep me sharp, helps to keep me in the game. And what do we say around here? We say the war is real. The battle hot and the time is short to the fight. And that's where we are called today. And today we are talking about an amazing thing. Penny has brought to my attention today something that is just absolutely stunning in its scope. In the United States, both the House and the Senate are working on twin bills, and they are called the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. And a lot of people thought, because the Abraham Accords were from Donald Trump, and Joe Biden has already declared his affinity to support the Palestinians, a lot of people thought that the Abraham Accords were going to fizzle out and die pretty quickly. But just the opposite has happened. Joe Biden realized that the Abraham Accords is the most stunning breakthrough in Middle East peace, and I put that into air quotes, because we know that there will not be any peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns. But the world calls it peace in the Middle East. And Joe Biden realized that what Donald Trump and Jared Kushner had pulled off between the UAE and Abu Dhabi and the Nation of Israel was absolutely stunning. And we've been talking about this ever since August 13th of last summer, when the Abraham Accords were first announced and they were signed. And we all saw pretty quickly how these accords are going to lead to the covenant that Antichrist will confirm. Turn to Daniel 9:27. Turn to Daniel 9:27. And a lot of people think that Antichrist creates the covenant in the Middle East, and he does not. The Antichrist confirms the covenant in the Middle East. Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and that means the temple is going to be rebuilt. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So what does that mean? That means that Antichrist is going to confirm a pre-existing covenant. And we can see very, very clearly that that temple in Israel must be rebuilt. There is no way around it. There are plenty of verses in the Old Testament and absolutely plenty of verses in the New Testament. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. And in Revelation chapter 11, we see the rebuilt temple. Revelation chapter 11, and let's look at the top of the chapter, starting in verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise, and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So what is John saying here? John is saying that halfway through the time of Jacob's trouble, a 7-year period, halfway through that time, there's going to be a little bit of a change in what's happening. For the first 3.5 years, it's going to, well, turn to Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Most of you know what I'm about to tell you, but we have a lot of new listeners, and there's a fair amount of you that do not know what the time of Jacob's trouble actually is. And in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 7, we read this, Jeremiah 30, 1 through 7. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. May 14th, 1948. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a travail, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob's trouble is a 7-year time period. And then back to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 2, "But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and they and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1, 2, and 3. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Now do you see the whole picture? The time of Jacob's trouble is a 7-year time period. Daniel tells us it's a 7-year time period. Daniel also tells us that Antichrist, after he confirms the covenant, he breaks the covenant. What covenant are you talking about? I'm talking about the Abraham Accords. Am I saying that the Abraham Accords are leading directly to the Daniel 9:27 covenant with Antichrist? I am absolutely 100% saying that. The Abraham Accords lead directly to the Daniel 9:27 covenant with Antichrist. And Revelation 11:2 shows us that halfway through that time of Jacob's trouble, and we know it's halfway through because Revelation 11:2 talks about a 3.5-year period. Now, that is right in the middle of the 7 weeks of the time of Jacob's trouble. And Antichrist, according to Daniel 9:27, is going to break that covenant. And we see that repeatedly. The time of the Great Tribulation is mentioned as a time, times, and half a time, or time, times, and the dividing of time. It's also mentioned as the 1,203 score days, 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And everywhere that you look, the Great Tribulation is a 3.5-year time period. And since we know that the time of Jacob's trouble is a 7-year time period, that we can put all these verses together and see crystal clear that Antichrist, he confirms the covenant at the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, and that false peace and safety that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, that everybody's talking about right now, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they're going to say peace and safety for 3.5 years. And we are so close to that time period that we are seeing the preparations for those things taking place right now. When you read Bible prophecy, there is an overlap to everything. One dispensation begins to work its way out. The other dispensation gradually begins to come in. And there is a point in which the two dispensations overlap each other. And what we are seeing now is we are seeing an unsaved world preparing to receive and meet and greet Antichrist. That's exactly what we see happening. Daniel chapter 2. Turn to Daniel chapter 2. And of course, we're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21. Daniel 2, 20 and 21 say, "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the time and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth within him." And then Daniel concludes that thought by saying, "I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. What is Daniel saying? It is God that puts kings in place, and it is God that takes kings down. Now, we know that God put Donald Trump in place to get a job done. And we told you from the very beginning that God had placed Donald Trump in power not to make America great again. Don't get mad at me. I am not anti-America. I am just simply saying that God is not concerned with making America great again. God is concerned with restoring the nation of Israel and restoring his people. The Bible tells us that all the other nations are simply a drop of the bucket, and that includes the mighty America. But we told you from the very beginning that God used Donald Trump to bring about Bible prophecy. And the things that God used Donald Trump to do for the nation of Israel are absolutely astounding. And that's why I voted for Donald Trump not once, but twice. That's why I gave my full support to the Donald Trump presidency, even though I didn't agree with everything he said, every tweet he made. I didn't agree with all the infighting and the name calling and all that stuff. I didn't like any of that stuff. But the reason why Donald Trump had my full support, because God revealed unto me early on that he was going to use Donald Trump to fulfill Bible prophecy. And if there is one thing that I really like to see, that is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. But even as far back as 2016, we told you, and a lot of people laughed when I wrote this article, but we told you back on December 24th of 2016 that, and that's almost 5 years ago now, we told you that God had put Donald Trump into place to start something that we called the global shaking. I thought it had a nice ring to it. I thought it was kind of catchy. I have since seen a lot of other people use that term. And we told you 4.5 years ago that God had put Donald Trump into power to bring about the global shaking. Now, can you imagine anything that is going to shake this globe any more powerfully than when Antichrist comes on the scene? Can you imagine anything that's going to shake this globe more powerfully than when the pre-tribulation rapture of the church takes us all out of here in the blink of an eye? Can you imagine that anything that's going to shake this globe more dramatically than the Abraham Accords that absolutely is the foundational pillars of the Daniel 9:27 covenant? And that's exactly what we're talking about today. And that's why I had no problem at all when everybody was telling me that I was wrong about the Abraham Accords, and everybody was saying Trump lost and now Biden's going to come in and he's going to sweep everything away. And I said, no, that is not going to happen. I said, just the opposite is going to happen. Why? Because the Abraham Accords did not come from Donald Trump. The Abraham Accords did not come from Jared Kushner. The Abraham Accords didn't even come from Benjamin Netanyahu, and they didn't come from Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed of Abu Dhabi. So where did the Abraham Accords come from? They came from the prophet Daniel. They came from the prophet Habakkuk and Amos and Isaiah. They came from the book of Revelation. And all these things that we're seeing, do you realize? We are just right now, we are 3 weeks away exactly from the 73rd anniversary of the refounding, of the regathering of the nation of Israel. We are 21 days away from the 73rd anniversary of the regathering of the nation of Israel. Do you realize how fortunate that we are? We were talking about praise reports before and how God has been wonderfully and miraculously answering so many of all of our prayers. But what is more wonderful and miraculous than watching the fulfillment of Bible prophecy that is thousands of years old? And we're watching it happen. It's working itself out on the daily news. It's the headlines of our newspaper. How exciting is it to be alive during this time and to know that we are the generation that will see the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Absolutely we are. The Bible says that God is going to gather all nations. Isaiah 66:18. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Talking about the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Joel 3:2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. Talking about the battle of Armageddon. And plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. Zechariah 14:2, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. We are watching these things either coming to pass or preparing to come to pass. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 8. Zephaniah 3 verse 8. Wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations that I might assemble the kingdoms. There's your United Nations General Assembly right there in Zephaniah 3:8. For my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation. This is the time of Jacob's trouble, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Do you realize that we are on the cusp of all these verses that I'm giving you? And they are getting ready to happen. And do you realize that God used Donald Trump exactly how we said that God was going to use him 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago? We told you this was coming. And people laughed and they mocked and they made fun. And now here we are watching it come to pass. If you haven't memorized Habakkuk 1:5, I urge you to commit this short but amazingly powerful little verse to your memory. Habakkuk 1:5. Behold, ye among the heathen in regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Now the end begins has been telling you for 12 years that these things are coming, and they're here. They're here right now. The Genesis 6 giants have returned. They are here. We are absolutely getting ready to get out of here on Flight 777. We are so very, 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 very close. And that brings us to, I said all that to say this. That brings us to today's podcast. But I had to set the table so that you really understood the importance of what we're talking about today. They are calling it the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. The Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. And what this is going to do, it is going to supercharge the Abraham Accords. So, let's get up to speed with all these things. And this is so exciting to see that Joe Biden is not only not getting rid of the Abraham Accords, he is expanding it. And why? Why is Biden expanding it? Because God is telling him to. Because the Holy Spirit is leading him in that direction. Joe Biden is not a saved man. Joe Biden, if he were to die today, would not go to heaven. There is no way that he could believe the things that he believes and do the things that he does and promote everything that God hates, including abortion and transgenderism and all those different things. There is no way that Joe Biden could do those things and be a born-again Christian. Just not possible. Because one of the things that being a born-again Christian does for you, it gives you a conscience. And that conscience is the Holy Spirit that lives inside you. But the reason why Joe Biden is doing these things, because he wants to be the one that is going to pull off the two-state solution. And Joe Biden's first step towards the two-state solution is to restore relations with America and the Palestinians. Donald Trump, when he was president, he severed the relationship between the Palestinians and America because the Palestinians were engaging in high-level terrorism, constantly attacking Israel, constantly sending rockets over the Gaza border, constantly attacking the IDF and doing all these things. Those balloons that they sent up all through 2019 and 2020, those incendiary balloons, they caused millions of dollars worth of damage to Israeli farmland. So why is Joe Biden restoring not only relations, but he's giving them millions and millions of dollars, which you know is going to be put right to Hamas. It's going to go right to terrorist activity. It's going to buy more rockets, more guns, more bullets, more incendiary balloons. It's going to fund more martyrs, and it's going to guarantee more trouble. Why would Joe Biden do that? Well, take a listen to this clip. Biden administration restores assistance for Palestinians.
In its strongest reversal of former U.S. President Donald Trump's policies, the Biden administration has announced that it would once again provide American aid to Palestine worth $235 million. The Biden administration has announced that it would restart funding the UN agency supporting refugees and restoring other assistance cut off in the Trump era. The package includes humanitarian, economic and development assistance in an effort to repair American ties with Palestinians, which has all but collapsed during Donald Trump's tenure.
Today, we're pleased to announce that working with Congress, we plan to restart the U.S. economic, development, security, and humanitarian assistance to the Palestinian people. It includes $75 million in economic and development assistance in the West Bank and Gaza, $10 million for peace-building programs through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, and $150 million in humanitarian assistance for the UN Relief Works Agency, or UNRWA. All assistance, of course, will be provided consistent with U.S. law.
The restoration of aid amounts to the most direct repudiation so far of Mr. Trump's tilt towards Israel in its decades-old conflict with the Palestinian population in Israeli-controlled territories. Biden's aides have also signaled that they want to re-establish the goal of a negotiated two-state solution as part of the U.S. policy on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. But they have moved cautiously so far, and any major steps are likely to wait for the dust to clear after Israel's inconclusive March election and the Palestinian election schedule in the coming months. The Trump administration had blocked nearly all aid after it severed ties with the Palestinian Authority in 2018. The move was widely seen as an attempt to force the Palestinians to negotiate with Israel on terms the Palestinian leadership branded as an effort to deny them a viable state. The cuts came after Palestinian leaders decided to boycott the Trump administration's peace efforts over its decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and move the U.S. embassy there from Tel Aviv, upending decades of American policy. This included rescinding funding for the United Nations Relief and Works Agency, which provides aid and relief services to around 5.7 million registered Palestinian refugees in the occupied West Bank, Gaza Strip, and across the Middle East. Meanwhile, the United Nations has welcomed the plan to restart funding for the UN agency supporting Palestinian refugees.
Welcome to the announcement today. It's a great news. The re-engagement of the United States as a strategic partner was expected, and we are very happy that it finally is taking place. United States have been a long-lasting partner for the organization for decades now, since the creation of UNRWA. The situation has been absolutely terrible, and there was a feeling of abandonment from the international community. I visited the camp over this last year on the COVID, and there is absolutely no doubt that there is a growing despair, there is a growing distress, and a sense of hopelessness. So I do believe that the re-engagement of the United States will provide this glimpse of hope that services will continue.
All right, that's all I can take of that clip. But suffice to say, Joe Biden is giving tens of millions of dollars to the Palestinians. And we know that, I mean, who runs the Palestinian so-called state? Hamas runs Palestine. Hamas is a terrorist organization. The Palestinian organization, which started under Yasser Arafat, it was called the PLO, stood for Palestinian Liberation Organization, and they are a terrorist group. And the Palestinians in 2021, Yasser Arafat has long since died, but the Islamic terrorists that created the PLO, they are still in charge, they are still in power, and they are still sending rockets and bombs over the border into Israel. Now, Steph has two questions. Her first question is, Steph is asking, why don't most preachers and pastors preach and talk about the Great Tribulation? I don't know. All I can say is it is shocking to me. Absolutely shocking. And if you're a pastor who's listening to this right now, you need to look into the mirror and examine what you're preaching. Are you preaching fluffy stuff? 12 steps for this and 3 steps for that? If you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, why are you not preaching the truth about Bible prophecy? We are living in a time where Bible prophecy is coming true. Why don't you preach that to your people? You should be ashamed of yourself if you don't do that. How many sermons have you given on the pre-tribulation rapture? I'm not talking about mentioning the rapture. I'm talking about preaching an entire sermon or series of sermons on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. If you're a pastor, why don't you do that? And yet I hear from people all over the world, not just in America, but all over the world. And they tell me that their church does not talk about Bible prophecy. And people say to me, why do you hold a Sunday morning service? Why do you do that at 11 a.m.? Because you're preventing people from going to their church. And of course, I'm not preventing anybody from going to their church. But one of the reasons why God put on my heart to start our Sunday morning services is to fill a need that the vast majority of Christian churches are not filling. And they are not preaching and teaching Bible prophecy. They are not preaching and teaching the coming judgment seat of Christ, that every single one of us who are saved, that is our unbreakable appointment. And it breaks my heart to see so many so-called Christian churches who allow their people to be ignorant about Bible prophecy while Bible prophecy is being fulfilled while we watch. I said just the other day that in the early part of this week, I had a woman named Joanne and her husband and their mom stopped by to visit the bookstore. And the bookstore is going really, really well. And we're going to, Lord willing, we're going to open in about 28 days. So please continue to keep that in prayer. But we're making huge amounts of progress with the bookstore. And they wanted to stop by. And she gave me the amazing testimony. This woman, Joanne, and she stopped by and she said that 6 months ago, she was one of those lukewarm Laodicean sitting on the sidelines people that she said I always talk about on my programs. And God got a hold of her heart and convicted her. And now she is red hot. Now she is on fire for the Lord, and her husband's on fire, and their mom's on fire. And the church that she attends, I think she said that she goes to a Methodist church. There are very few things that are more Laodicean than your average Presbyterian or Methodist church. And God has gotten a hold of this woman's heart, and she is now beginning to kindle revival fires in her church. And that's exactly why we do what we do. But if you are a pastor or a preacher, why aren't you preaching Bible prophecy to your people? Maybe you don't know Bible prophecy, and that's to your shame, because the whole Bible is given by inspiration of God for our admonition and our learning, for reproof and correction, and for instruction in righteousness, and for instruction in things that are soon to come. So Steph's first question, why don't most churches talk about the tribulation? Well, I kind of rambled a little bit, but there's my answer. Her second question is, where does it say in the Bible that the Genesis 6 giants are going to return after the rapture? Well, it says it right in Matthew. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 41. Matthew 24, 36 through 41. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now Jesus said, and Matthew 24 is not about the Christian church. Matthew chapter 24 is Jesus talking to Jewish people about the kingdom age. And in Matthew chapter 24, we read things that are related to the time of Jacob's trouble and related to the great tribulation. And Jesus says that that time period is going to be like the days of Noah. Now, what happened in the days of Noah? Turn to Genesis chapter 5. Turn to Genesis chapter 5, and I'll show you the days of Noah. Genesis chapter 5, and let me just get there. I'm posting something else at the moment. Genesis chapter 5, and look down at the bottom of your page. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Genesis 5, 21 through 24. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then you go Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. And then you have Noah. So the days of Noah begin in Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, Genesis 5, 29. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning the work of our hands. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. And verse 32 says, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So the days of Noah begin with the one person rapture of Enoch. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not, because God took him. God translated him. He took him up into the clouds in a type of the pre-tribulation rapture. A couple of verses later, we see Noah. Couple of verses later, Noah has three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Turn to page to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Here it is. I said all that to say this. There were giants in the earth in those days. And after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. These sons of God, the same sons of God from Job chapter 1. Turn to Job chapter 1. Turn to Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. Here we see in Job 1:6. That the sons of God are presenting themselves before the Lord. These are angels. The scene is heaven. The Lord God was not on earth in the days of Job. Job said, my Redeemer liveth. That's what Job said. Job said, my Redeemer liveth. And he prophesied. Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. The Lord was not on the earth in the days of Job. Job said that he could see the day where the Lord would be on the earth, but it was not when Job was alive. So who are these sons of God in Job chapter 1? They're the same sons of God in Genesis chapter 6. And they become fallen angels. They left their first estate, the Bible says. The Bible says that these angels, they left their first estate in Jude 1:6. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So, Steph's question was, where does the Bible say that the Genesis 6 giants will return? When Jesus says the days of Noah in Matthew 24, and I just gave you a very, very high-level brief overview of what the days of Noah actually are. And you can see very, very clearly that we connected all those verses. And there is a great book. There is a great book by Steve Quayle called The Genesis 6 Giants. And that's a book that we're going to be selling in our bookstore. So I hope that many of you will log on. We're going to be launching the bookstore hopefully Monday or Tuesday of next week. Certainly sometime next week, we should be able to launch the bookstore. The whole bookstore is built, the online bookstore. We are just trying to configure the shipping so that works correctly. But we will be selling some books by Steve Quayle, especially the Genesis 6 Giants. And we hope everybody will get a copy of that. And Steve Quayle is absolutely a friend of this ministry, and we appreciate his friendship very much. All right, getting back to today's topic, we're talking about something that's very exciting. We're talking about this bill that is before the House and the Senate right now, Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. And this is going to drastically and radically expand the power of the Abraham Accords. I want you to listen to this very short clip regarding U.S. policy on the Abraham Accords explained. Take a listen.
After decades of division and conflict, September 15th, 2020 was a historic day for peace. President Donald J. Trump brokered the signing of two peace agreements between Israel and Arab states, the first in more than a quarter century. They were between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and between Israel and Bahrain. Hello, I'm Christian James, a spokesperson for the U.S. Department of State in London, and this is U.S. policy on the Abraham Accords explained. These two agreements normalized relations between these nations, establishing regional peace built upon shared interests, mutual respect, and friendship. 5 weeks later, the United States brokered yet a third peace agreement, this time between Israel and Sudan. Collectively known as the Abraham Accords, through these agreements, each country recognizes the importance of strengthening peace in the Middle East and around the world through mutual understanding and respect for human dignity and freedom. They also promote interfaith and intercultural dialogue in order to advance a culture of peace through cooperation. They acknowledge that the best way to address challenges is through cooperation and dialogue, and the importance of tolerance and respect for every person. And finally, they call for an end to radicalization and conflict by supporting science, art, medicine, and commerce to inspire humankind, maximize human potential, and bring nations closer together. Through the Abraham Accords, Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Sudan are setting aside their differences and pursuing long-lasting peace in the region. They are now establishing embassies, exchanging ambassadors, and cooperating as partners on a variety of issues, including tourism, trade, healthcare, and security. The Abraham Accords are a monumental step in creating more opportunities for establishing peace, prosperity, and stability in the Middle East. I'm Christian James, and this is the U.S. policy on the Abraham Accords explained.
And there you have the official 2-minute high-level overview of what the Abraham Accords are from the U.S. government's perspective. Well, we give you what the Abraham Accords are from the Bible's perspective, and that's a little bit of a different look, I would say. So let's break this down a little bit. And again, I want to give a special shout out of thanks to our good sister Penny, who spent a lot of time yesterday and today to get us the information that we need to talk about this incredible update in Bible prophecy. So again, thank you very much, Penny. I appreciate all the work that you put in to get this information to me. I really appreciate that. On page 8 of the Abraham Accords, on page 8 of the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021, we read this: an assessment, it calls for an assessment for creating an Abrahamic Center for Pluralism to prepare educational materials, convene international seminars, promote tolerance and pluralism, and bring together scholars as a means of advancing religious tolerance and countering political and religious extremism. All right, so on page 8 of this bill, that is before both the House and the Senate in the United States, called the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021, it is calling for creating what they call an Abrahamic Center for Pluralism. Now, does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound like something we might have been talking about a lot? Well, that sounds exactly like Pope Francis's Declaration of Human Fraternity. And that's exactly what it is. So, one of the main components of the Abraham Accords has nothing to do with the United States. It has to do with Pope Francis as the Pontifex Maximus of Rome, who has been working for years to bring about something that he calls the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And we call that the One World Religion of Chrislam. And when you read that language, where it talked about an assessment for creating an Abrahamic Center for Pluralism to prepare educational materials, convene international seminars, promote tolerance and pluralism. And that word pluralism simply means getting Catholics and Jews and Muslims together all on the same page. They call it pluralism. We call it Chrislam. And the United States, for the past 2 years, has agreed to work with Pope Francis. Mike Pence spent a lot of time going to have private closed-door meetings with Pope Francis. And Mike Pence was a huge contributing factor to the involvement of the United States with the One World Religion of Chrislam. And where does the Abraham Accords come from? Well, we said earlier they come from God, absolutely, because God is bringing about Bible prophecy. But a lot of people don't know that the main driving force behind the Abraham Accords, Mohammed bin Zayed, and you thought it was Jared Kushner, you thought it was Donald Trump, it's not. The main driving force behind the Abraham Accords is Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed. And he turned everywhere that you look. He likes to stay behind the scenes. But everywhere that you look, this man, this mysterious, always smiling, handsome Muslim prince, he turns up absolutely everywhere. You know, the first place he turned up was back in Abu Dhabi in February of 2019. Do you remember that when Pope Francis kissed the Imam Al-Tayeb, and he kissed him on the mouth after they signed the covenant? Remember that? Well, the person that was a silent witness to the signing of the Declaration of Human Fraternity was Mohammed bin Zayed. And that goes back to February of 2019. And Mohammed bin Zayed is a mover and shaker, the likes of which you cannot even begin to imagine. Mohammed bin Zayed is absolutely everywhere. He is the driving force behind the Abraham Accords. He is the driving force behind the Declaration of Human Fraternity. He worked with Trump. He worked with Jared Kushner. He works with the Vatican. He works with the Catholic Church. He works hand in hand with Pope Francis. Mohammed bin Zayed is absolutely everywhere. So when this bill talks about, on page 8, paragraph 4, an assessment for creating an Abrahamic Center for Pluralism to prepare educational materials, convene international seminars, promote tolerance and pluralism, and bring together scholars as a means of advancing religious tolerance and countering political and religious extremism. And this is exactly the cover under which they are creating the One World Religion of Chrislam. It is all about religious tolerance. Everybody, it doesn't matter what your beliefs are. Everybody put your beliefs aside and let's all work together. In Germany, they have broken ground in Germany on something called the House of One. And right there in Berlin, Germany, they are creating something called the House of One. And that house is going to hold Muslims and Jews and Catholics. And it is going to be a center for religious pluralism. And we were one of the very, very first people to break that story and to let you know that that is happening in Berlin right now. They have already broken ground on that. And we are a little less than 2 years away from the Abrahamics family house that they are building in Abu Dhabi, the same place where they signed the original Declaration of Human Fraternity back in 2019. And this, again, is going to be a place that is going to hold a mosque. It's going to have a little mini temple, and it's going to have a Roman Catholic church. And this is what they are building in Abu Dhabi, and it is scheduled to open at the end of 2022. Says here, the announcement of the Abrahamic Family House on the Saadiyat Island in Abu Dhabi follows a visit by Pope Francis to the UAE in February of 2019, the first by a pope to the Arabian Peninsula. During the trip, Pope Francis signed a joint declaration with the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar, Dr. Ahmad El-Tayeb, that called for religious tolerance and dialogue. And that's exactly the same type of language that we see in this bill about Israel, expanding normalized relations. It says here from a website called JewishInsider.com, a bipartisan group of senators introduced a bill on yesterday, aiming at promoting, last month, March 26th, aimed at promoting normalization between Israel and the Arab states. The bill directs the Department of State to conduct a series of studies and submit reports to Congress on ways the U.S. and its international partners can reinforce and expand upon the Abraham Accords, which normalize relations between Israel, the UAE, and Bahrain. And so these things are happening right now, and it's very, very exciting to see. And when we break down what's in this bill, when we really look very closely at what these bills are promoting, they are promoting Chrislam. They are promoting the Abraham Accords. Throughout both the bills, we see these words, expand, strengthen, a strategy to strengthen and expand the Abraham Accords. Angelique has a question. The Abraham Accords equal peace. Chrislam equals one world religion. Have they been technically tied together yet? And you have just gotten about half a step ahead of me. I was just getting ready to talk about that, but good. You're paying attention and you understand what's happening. Chrissy just said confirming a covenant. Absolutely correct. And what you need to understand about this bill to normalize relations in Israel 2021, all of these things are tied together. The Abraham Accords, Chrislam, this bill to normalize relations with Israel, even the fact that Joe Biden is bringing the Palestinians back to the table. Everything is all connected. It's the same thing. I'm not talking to you about four different things. I'm talking to you about one thing that has four different aspects to it. It has the Chrislam component. That's the religious component. It has the Abraham Accords. That's the political component. It has the Palestinian component. That's Israel's enemy being brought to the table. Why would they bring Israel's enemy to the table? Because they are going to fulfill Joel chapter 3, verse 2. And what does Joel chapter 3, verse 2 say? For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall again bring the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, May 14th, 1948, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. That means, because Joel chapter 3 verse 2 is yet future, Israel is going to be scattered. The remnant is going to flee to Selah Petra. And longtime readers of Now the End Begins, you are some of the only people on the face of this earth that know what the word Selah in the Bible means and why it's there. The word Selah is not calling you to pause and meditate in general. The word Selah alerts you to pause and meditate on the time of Jacob's trouble and the great tribulation. And the coming day when the Jews, the remnant Jews, are going to be scattered. The remnant Jews are going to be scattered to the wilderness. And for a time, times, and half a time, they are going to be supernaturally fed. Just like the Jews were when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 says this. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 13, Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time. From the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, Israel, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12 tells you about a flood. Well, where else have we read about a flood? Daniel chapter 11. How many times have I told you you can't understand Revelation if you don't read Daniel? If you want to greatly increase your understanding of the book of Revelation, you need to read the book of Daniel. No question about it. Daniel chapter 11, verses 20 through 22. Daniel 11, 20 through 22. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him. This is the same flood from Revelation chapter 12. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. So, this is what's going to happen to the Jewish people. They're going to be driven out for a time, times, and half a time. They're going to be driven to the Red Rock city of Selah Petra in Jordan. In the Old Testament, that area was referred to as Edom and Moab. And that's the two places that Antichrist, again, according to Daniel, will not be able to get his hands on. Daniel says that there are two places in the entire Middle East, two places that the Antichrist will be unable to get his hands on. And what are those two places? Those two places are Edom and Moab. Daniel 11:41. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. So, Edom and Moab in the Old Testament is Selah Petra in Jordan, which exists today. They call it the Red Rock City of Selah Petra. And that's where the remnant Jews are going to run and hide. And the Bible says that God is going to keep them supernaturally fed and secure for times, times, and half a times. And that's exactly what's going to happen. Let's read a little bit more about this bill. Page 9, paragraph 7. Page 9, paragraph 7. Recommendations to improve Department of State cooperation and coordination, particularly between the special envoy to monitor anti-Semitism and the ambassador at large for international religious freedom, and the Office of International Religious Freedom to combat racism, xenophobia, Islamophobia, and anti-Semitism, which hinder improvement of relations between Israel, Arab states, and other relevant countries and regions. It says here, an assessment, check this out, an assessment of the value and feasibility, I lost my place. An assessment for the value and feasibility of federal support for interparliamentary exchange programs for members of Congress, Knesset, and parliamentarians from Arab and other relevant countries and regions, including through existing federal programs that support such exchanges. Now, that doesn't sound very exciting, but this does. The legislation requires the State Department to consider options for creating an interparliamentary exchange program for members of Congress, the Knesset, and Arab states' parliamentary bodies, and to examine creating an Abrahamic Center for Pluralism to bring together scholars and to combat religious and political extremism. These historic agreements could help advance peace between Israel, the Arab states, and relevant countries and regions, further diplomatic openings, and enhance efforts towards a negotiated solution. Here it is. These historic agreements, this is on page 2, paragraph 4 of the Senate bill. These historic agreements could help advance peace between Israel, the Arab states, relevant countries and regions, further diplomatic openings, and enhance efforts towards a negotiated solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, resulting in two states, a democratic Jewish state of Israel and a viable democratic Palestinian state living side by side in peace, security, and mutual recognition. Now do you see what this is all about? Now do you see what's the driving force behind this? Joel said that the battle of Armageddon is fought because the enemies of Israel divide the land of Israel. And this bill, known as the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021, is going to incorporate the two-state solution with the Abraham Accords. And all that stuff that I just read to you was directly from the bill. Now, if you'd like to, I'm going to put the link for this bill right here into the chat room. If you're not in the chat room, but you'd like to be, just go to ntebradio.com and you'll be in the chat room. I'm going to put the link for the PDF so you can read for yourself everything that I just told you. And there it is, the PDF for the official Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. And it's before the Congress. It's before the Senate. And this almost certainly is going to come to pass. And I just showed you that when you boil this whole bill down, when you get to the very end of the entire bill, and it is 16 pages long, when you get to the end of this entire bill, you realize that this bill is going to combine the Abraham Accords, the One World Religion of Chrislam, and it's going to call for a two-state solution, which is going to pass. Now, if you're wondering how close that we are to the rapture, I can't show it to you any more clearly or plainly than that. Before the House and before the Senate, right now, the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021, which is going to unify Chrislam, the Abraham Accords, and the two-state solution. They are on the verge of signing this thing. And Joel chapter 3, verse 2 tells you, after all is said and done, and Israel is divided down the middle, Joel tells you very, very clearly what God's response is to this bill. Joel chapter 3, verse 2 tells you that God is going to go to battle. I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land, with the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021. You see how that works? You see how all these things are tied together? I haven't shown you four different things. Today I've shown you the Israel Relations Normalization Act of 2021 that is before the House and the Senate right now. And contained within the 16 pages of that act, you have the mechanism to combine Chrislam, the one world religion, the Abraham Accords, which is the political covenant between Israel and her enemies, and the two-state solution, which is going to ultimately trigger the Battle of Armageddon. All that is happening before your very eyes right now. Habakkuk 1, verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. I just told you what the work is. My question to you today is, do you believe it? Habakkuk says you probably won't, unless you're born again, unless you have that Holy Spirit of God giving you wisdom and knowledge and insight and discernment. Habakkuk says, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. I just told you what it is, and I hope you believe it. With that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I want to thank you so very much for attending this Prophecy News podcast. Please keep us in a lot of prayer. We're getting down to the wire for opening up the bookstore. We're getting ready to launch the bookstore website. And there's so much going on. Please continue to pray and to support this ministry. We're getting ready to launch new billboards. We're getting ready to launch... You know, when you go to the ocean and you see those little airplanes and they're flying those banners for suntan lotion, and they fly those banners to go down to Joe's Crab Shack and to get crabs and something to eat? Well, this summer, Lord willing, in St. Augustine, one of those banners is going to warn people of coming judgment and urge them to not be left behind. Because of your support, we're putting up new billboards. Because of your support, we're putting up banners over the ocean that people down on the bottom worshiping the sun, they'll look up and they're going to read about the coming judgment. Please continue to support this ministry. Please continue to pray for us that God would give us much wisdom and guidance in the coming days. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for tuning in. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our NTEB Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And do it now, because the rapture will come and Christ will return. It says in the Bible that he will come as a thief in the night.
Been left behind.